Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 1, we were given a little of the background of Samuel's father. Let's continue with those thoughts today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
As we go on, it says here of this man Elkanah, and he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Well, now we're starting to get the beginnings here of the story of Samuel's life here. And verses 1 through 3 provides us with players and places. Now, here's Elkanah, who'll be Samuel's father. His name means God Chosen. My friend, if you are saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you realize you are God chosen? We're told in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, many times we stop right there and we don't go any further, and that's a shame, because the next verse, verse 10, is as much a part of that little section as verse 8 is and verse 9 is. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God had a will for you even before you were saved. And he's chosen you to fulfill that specific thing. Now, you may or may not fulfill that thing, but understand, if you're saved, you're God chosen. Now, we're not talking about you're God chosen to go to heaven while others are God chosen to go to hell. That's not taught in the Bible, by the way. That is a doctrine out of hell. And it started there way back there very long ago with a man named Augustine. And he had some people predestined to hell, some predestined to heaven. Later, Calvin came in and dressed it up a little. He removed the sacraments as necessary for salvation, and yet he still maintained that some were chosen to go to heaven, some chosen to go to hell. You might say Calvinism is, in a sense, Reformed Catholicism that goes from some of the errors concerning salvation on how to be saved in Catholicism that's there. So he's God chosen, and we're told he has two wives. Now, in our passage, this is not condemned that he has two wives, but nor is it praised. Nor are we told that it was a good thing or a bad thing, that it was all right or not all right. It is only stated in this passage as a fact that he had two wives. Now, Jesus will show when one gets to Matthew and chapter 19, he will show what is actually the truth there, okay? Because it may not be exactly what some people are trying to teach today. But there it says, and this is Jesus speaking, okay? Now, understand, this is Jesus himself speaking. He says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So he's putting it in the context of male and female. and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Well, it looks like Jesus' description of what a marriage is one man for one woman. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh, and what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so God was, from the beginning, ordaining that man should have one wife and one wife only. And so Jesus shows that from the beginning, it was really wrong to have more than one wife. It causes problems. Now, unless you marry sisters like Jacob did, you're burdened with two mother-in-laws, one preacher said. And then another one has made a joke out of it by saying, no man can serve two masters, therefore you only need one wife. Well, of course, those are things that people make as jokes about it, but it's really no laughing matter. Understand, it was a sin to have two wives. And we'll say more about that in just a few moments. But now Elkanah, in spite of that sin, is a faithful man. Without fail, he goes to Shiloh each year to worship and sacrifice as appointed by the Lord, because that's where the Ark of the Lord was. This is before the temple was built. Shiloh, the name itself means rest. And I imagine, as one progresses in this story and sees a man has two wives and they were at odds with one another, I'm sure he needed it, but now he took his wife with him, and he took them there, though. They were all going to be under the way of God and his word. That was his desire. But doesn't this show us something here, though, with two wives? See, what had happened in time, society had accepted that it was all right for men to have more than one wife. They may have two, three, or four, or more. You'll see Solomon has 700 wives and 300 concubines. And so it just multiplied. What happens is that this becomes a part of society, and everybody's all right with it. Nobody has a problem with it any longer. And so even God's people do it. I'm afraid that we have a generation that's my generation that's in our senior years now, and we stand against things such as gay marriage because the Bible speaks out against it. And as I just shared with you, Jesus and his words about it. Now, again, we're fundamentalist. A fundamentalist doesn't say they're gay, kill them. A fundamentalist says they're gay, they need to be saved from that life. Show them the gospel and show them that Jesus Christ can take that from them as he has multitudes of others. And Christ will if they want his eternal salvation. Now, I'm afraid, though, that the generation that's following us, they hear it in their schools, they see it on television, everywhere they go, and it's viewed as acceptable. And it may be one day that gay marriage becomes so acceptable that it starts in the homes of so-called Christians. And they're marrying and giving in marriage, and here they are, then they're adopting children. And before too long, these people are serving in offices of the church. Now, that's already happening in many places. And God condemns it. It's wrong. It's sin. It's vile in God's sight. Now, to me, personally, it's vile in my sight. But really, I'm not the one that makes a determination. God does, and I'm just coming as his messenger. You know, if you're going to be mad at God, I guess, because I'm just the messenger delivering his message. So understand that when society accepts sin, it does not justify it in God's sight. Remember, Abraham? Oh, yes, Abraham. Hey, boy, that guy, his wife's even told him to take Hagar, and Hagar had a child for him. And here we are today, still fighting battles in the Middle East as a result of that sin over 3,500 years ago. So there are problems that come out of these things. Now, Penina and Hannah are the other players besides Elkanah. The name Penina is defined as pearl. Hannah is defined as grace. Isn't it interesting that often we want to say bad things about Penina and not about Hannah? But one thing we need to remember, all three people involved here, Elkanah, Penina, and Hannah, all three know the score here. They know they're wrong. It's not that one is a good sinner and the other is a bad sinner. All sin is bad in God's sight. He cannot look on iniquity. So there are sins that happen that God does not judge immediately. They're not punished immediately. And people may think, well, hey, it's no longer wrong, or God doesn't care that much about it. It's not that bad. Do you remember when Ananias and Sapphira lied about what they gave at the house of the Lord in Acts chapter 5? What happened? They were struck dead immediately. Now, has God struck dead every person since then that immediately that lied about their tithes, say, for example, on their 1040 form that they give to the government? No, I don't think God struck them dead immediately. But that first time was to show us how vile, corrupting such a thing as giving unto the Lord's house is in God's sight when we corrupt it with a lie. And so that was important. We see that the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who were struck dead immediately when they offered strange incense. Now, since that day, there are people who have done some very sacrilegious, anti-godly or ungodly things in God's house. They weren't struck dead immediately. But it shows us that striking dead those first two, how serious a sin it is when we worship God in a fleshly way. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.